Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
At Lowe's, get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, install, and more when you spend $2,500 on select major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 2/25 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, Florida. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
All three stories that I narrate in this episode are by the same author, Zion. Unfortunately, though, I had lost my voice, but I recorded the stories anyway because I knew I probably wouldn't be able to re-record them today, and that turned out to be true, so sorry for the late episode, sorry for the poor vocal performance. I'll do better next time. Without further ado, here's the first story by Zion. Listening to your podcast has triggered some forgotten experiences of mine. Although I suppose they weren't forgotten in the traditional sense, they were more like memories purposely suppressed, seeing as I didn't want to remember them. Ever since my elementary school years, I've experienced the paranormal many times in my life, certainly more than I'm comfortable with. I'll start with one of my most compelling and unexplainable experiences. I might submit more later, and maybe you guys can make some sense out of them. As a disclaimer, I was very young, so I may miss a few details, but this is how I remember it. It was my first experience, but also the most terrifying. I was maybe 5 or 6, in the tail end of my kindergarten days. My mother had just moved from Miami with me and my siblings into some new apartments called Willow Wind Circle, with her then new boyfriend, now ex. The apartments were in a small town called Barnesville, in middle Georgia. And anyone who's been there can attest to how old and dreary the entire town feels. Willow Wind Circle was no exception, and my siblings and I soon found ourselves wishing we had never moved. The experience started when my siblings and I walked into the apartment from school and saw my mom's boyfriend visibly shaken and nervous. We asked him what was wrong, and though he probably shouldn't have confided in a couple of kids, he told us anyway. He said he'd come home from work early, and as he was walking up to the door, he saw our mom waving at him from the upstairs window. He waved back and proceeded inside, expecting a greeting, but she never came down. He walked up the stairs looking for her, but she wasn't there. It turned out she wasn't even home. No one was, except him. He then went back downstairs, trying to figure out what he'd just seen when we walked in. This properly creeped us kids out, but we ultimately tried to chalk it up to his imagination. Some weeks later, he came to us all with another story, this time with us home. He said he'd been napping upstairs and woke up to his door, slowly creaking open. He looked and saw my mom standing there, smiling at him. He assumed she was just checking in on him, but the way she kept staring was unsettling. He sat up and asked her what was going on, why she was staring. According to him, she didn't say anything and just started to walk out of view slowly, still smiling. He got agitated by her creepiness and went to confront her, but she had vanished. Outside of his and my mom's bedroom, there was a short hallway with only three places she could have gone. Either into the upstairs bathroom, a door to the left if you're facing out of the room, where she wasn't. Into our room, which was directly across from theirs, where she also wasn't. Or down the stairs, which he would have seen or at least heard. He was confused about how he could have missed her, or how she could have moved so fast. He then came down the stairs to where my siblings and I were watching TV. My mom was in the downstairs bathroom, and we heard him ask her why she'd been staring at him. She told him she'd been downstairs the whole time, and we kids could vouch for her. After this event, we were all extremely nervous and slowly started feeling afraid of our own home. Whatever this entity was seemed to shift its attention away from him and focused on everyone else. I started having vivid nightmares where people I knew were actually demons in disguise, tormenting me once my guard was down. The dream shook me to my core, and it all felt too real. One day, my mom's boyfriend noticed my stress and suggested we all go out for a fun day, but only if our room was cleaned. We cleaned it, and after my mom's approval, we all left the house. When we returned, we hung out downstairs since the TV was there. My mom's boyfriend went upstairs to set some things down in their room, then yelled at us kids to come up, his voice filled with anger. As we ran up, he explained why he was so upset. On his way up to his room, he'd passed ours and saw it was an absolute mess, as if a localized, bedroom-sized tornado had torn through it. He was rightfully mad, thinking we'd lied about cleaning. My mom helped calm him down, assuring him the room had been clean. We couldn't explain how it got so wrecked, but we were all coming to the realization that something else was in these apartments with us. The last straw for us at Willow Wind Circle came one night when my siblings and I were woken up by the sound of my mom screaming and gasping down the hall, with her boyfriend yelling, asking what was wrong. We tried to fall back asleep, but were too terrified, so we just laid there, listening. The next morning, I asked my mom what happened. This was when I first learned about sleep paralysis. She explained that's what she had experienced. She said she'd been paralyzed on the bed, and suddenly, a green, hag-like entity walked into her room and started choking her. She described it as looking disgusting, almost like a cliche old witch, but covered in a sickly, phlegm-colored ooze. She couldn't breathe until she felt a sudden compulsion to call out to Jesus, which is to be expected due to our Christian faith. Uttering his name apparently made the entity disappear. She started gasping for air and screaming as soon as she was released, which was the sound we'd heard. Needless to say, we moved out shortly after that and never looked back.
Deep Sea Expedition Encounter by I Am Slav. This story is not mine, it's my uncle's. I want to clarify that while I believe this story to be true, there's some room for speculation. I'll start with some background. My uncle has been a marine biologist for the last 50 years. He's now in his 60s and has spent the last 25 years teaching marine biology at a university. His area of expertise has been the North and Mid-Atlantic Oceans. Growing up, every time that we would visit him in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, he would tell us countless stories of the deep-sea expeditions that he participated in. Before his teaching years, he was primarily a researcher. Every story was interesting and filled with wonder. The story I'm about to tell is the only one that has me questioning what is really out there in the deep ocean. For the sake of this story, I'll refer to my uncle as Uncle Jay or just Jay to keep some semblance of anonymity. This story begins when Uncle Jay was just getting ready to embark on an upcoming expedition to the Mid-Atlantic Ridge. The research vessel that they would be traveling on was a medium-sized ship around 80 meters long. One of those ships had a crane, and it was crewed by maybe 20 men, with about 15 marine biologists of various specialities attending. It was early summer in the late 1990s. I'm not sure of the exact date. Uncle Jay was about 30 at the time. He said they couldn't have had a better day for loading the vessel. The ocean was calm and the weather was beautiful. They would be out at sea for the next month and a half, and all the weather forecast looked promising. Once the ship was loaded, they embarked on their journey. It took them approximately 1 week to reach the ridge. The primary goal of this expedition was to examine and possibly identify new species of sea life in that region. Additionally, they wanted to examine how known species lived. They didn't have any submarines, so to find any new species, they had an intriguing plan. Using the crane on board the ship, they attached cow carcasses to the hook and lowered them into the water near the ocean floor. A few feet away from the hook were multiple cameras and lights to observe any sea life that might devour the carcasses. Uncle Jay said that they had about 10 carcasses. They would begin their journey in the northern portion, lower the carcasses into the water for a few days, and move south along the ridge, repeating the process. To clarify for any confusion about the cow carcasses, I asked my uncle to elaborate. On board the ship was a refrigerated container where they stored the carcasses. He couldn't remember exactly how they got them, but he thinks that it was from a local dairy farm. Once the cows reached the end of their lifespan, they would sell them off to local butchers, etc. In this case, a group of marine biologists bought them. When the carcasses were lowered in, the ship would power down all engines and simply drift. If they drifted away from the ridge, they would power up and very slowly move back into position. Because this was a rather low-budget mission, the cameras on the hook didn't provide a live feed, and all the footage was thoroughly examined afterward. That was about 48 hours of footage that they had to sift through each time they pulled the hook back up. They had been at this for about a week and hadn't made any new discoveries, but they did gain valuable footage of rarely seen sea life consuming the cows. At this point of the story, Uncle Jay said that everything was going according to plan. The seas were calm and everybody on board was enjoying their time. They were onto their fifth cow carcass. It was about 5 p.m. They hooked it up and lowered it into the water. This portion of the ridge was about 3,500 meters deep, pushing the limit of how much cable they had on the crane. For this mission, two of the marine biologists were required to monitor the crane and their location in relation to the ridge at all times. My uncle and another biologist drew the short straw and had to watch overnight. They would swap out at around 9 a.m. Uncle Jay said that it was an uneventful night. He and the other biologists chatted all night and bounced different theories off of each other. At around 7 a.m., just as the sun was rising, all was calm. Almost too calm, Jay remarked. They hadn't drifted off course throughout the night, and the ocean was like glass. Much of the crew was beginning to rise as well. But what happens next is a complete shock to everyone on board. It's important to note that the crane had been angled off the right side of the ship. Suddenly, and very rapidly, the 80-meter-long vessel began listing to the right side. It was almost as if something grabbed the hook and began pulling it deeper. My uncle said the immediate panic that he felt was unlike anything he had experienced. He said it felt like the ship was going to capsize. They immediately sounded the ship's onboard alarm system to notify the crew of an emergency. Once they had their faculties in order, after the initial shock, my uncle ordered the other biologist to begin reeling the crane in. Since the cabling was so long, it would take about 20 minutes to completely reel the line in. The other biologist began to reel the crane, but the winch was struggling. The ship was leaning more and more into the water. My uncle said that as water began to pour over the right side of the ship, it suddenly smacked back down to an upright position, sending him flying into some containers. Many of the crew had begun to come out now as well. There were several injuries on board, but nothing life-threatening. Over the next 20 minutes, as the crane was still retracting the line, the crew assessed their injuries and any damages to the ship. My uncle was ultimately uninjured, despite being thrown around. He said waiting for the line to come up was the longest 20 minutes of his life. Everyone was in complete shock at what had just happened. 2 minutes of complete chaos, and now all was calm again. When the crane returned to the surface, the cow carcass was completely gone, and the large metal hook was slightly bent. A few of the cameras were missing, but thankfully, not all of them. The cow carcass being completely gone was the most interesting part. As in every other case, it was never gone completely. The vessel's captain made the decision to head back shortly after this incident, much to the disappointment of the biologists, including my uncle. He wanted to figure out what could have caused this. However, several onboard generators were damaged in the impact, and they were essential to the ship's operation. So, they had to return. My uncle believed it was because the captain and the ship's crew were terrified, and rightly so. On the week-long journey back, the biologists examined the footage to try and identify what caused this. The footage, by all accounts, was normal. The carcass was about 10 meters off the sea floor, illuminated by the floodlights. Some small, shrimp-like sea life was feasting on the cow when all of a sudden the cameras went black. Not as if they stopped recording, but as if something was covering them. The timestamps showed the correct time of the incident. After 2 minutes, the lights came back on, and they could see again. However, it wasn't much, as an enormous amount of the sediment had kicked up from the ocean floor and now enveloped the view of the cameras. While they were able to rule out the hook getting snagged on the bottom, they were never able to see what caused this. That's how the story ends. No answer or explanation, just that. They returned to the port to report their findings, but to my knowledge, nothing ever came of it. My uncle has his theories of what could have caused this, ranging from hungry sperm whale to a giant squid to some unknown massive sea creature. Whatever it was must have been huge to devour a complete cow carcass in under 2 minutes and nearly capsize an 80-meter research vessel. While the story is outlandish and maybe hard to believe, I have no reason to disagree with it. My uncle hasn't told any story similar to this, and this is the only one that comes close to sea monsters and the unknown. But it makes you think, what could really be out there lurking in the deep ocean?
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This second occurrence happened directly after our previous experience at the Willows. My family believes that whatever entity was in those apartments followed us. After we moved, we settled into a small two-story apartment close to Atlanta, Georgia. The activity started immediately, as if the entity wanted us to know we hadn't escaped it. On one of the first nights in the new apartment, my sister walked into the bedroom my brother and I shared. She asked if she could sleep with us. I asked her why, and she said she'd been hearing strange sounds in her closet. And then, all of a sudden, her TV came on by itself. She got scared and didn't want to be alone. After what we'd just been through at the Willows, I more than understood her fear. So of course, I let her sleep with us. The next night, after trying to sleep in her own room, she ran into our room again, but this time she was crying. This surprised me because she's the oldest and she never cries, so I knew she was really afraid. She said her TV had come on again, and as she was getting out of bed to come to our room, she heard scratching, like claws scraping the wall and getting closer to her. This sent her into a panic, and that's why she ran into our room, crying. The next morning, my mom put a Bible in my sister's room and drew crosses with oil on the doorframe. My mom's boyfriend suggested we all sleep together so no one was alone, and we turned the living room into a makeshift bedroom area where we all slept together that night. The following night, I was downstairs in the dark, as everyone else was mostly asleep. The only light came from the video game I was playing. My mom was the only other one awake, sitting behind me. Suddenly, it turned cold. So cold I could see my breath fogging up in front of me. I asked my mom if she noticed the drop in temperature, and before she could answer, we heard footsteps upstairs. The steps sounded like they were coming from my sister's room, but then we heard them move and stop at the top of the stairs. My mom and I exchanged silent glances, frozen, just listening. Then the footsteps continued, slowly coming down to the middle of the stairs and stopping again, as if something was taking its time watching us. The footsteps then resumed, walking down the rest of the stairs and approaching me directly. I was paralyzed with fear. My mom and I couldn't see anything, but we could hear it, the sound of something in the dark getting closer. A few minutes passed, and nothing happened, until we noticed a quiet breathing sound that seemed to get louder and louder. We couldn't quite place where it was coming from. I thought maybe someone was breathing heavily in their sleep. Until I felt it. I felt something breathing against my ear from behind. But there was nothing there, as if the darkness itself had taken a breath. I scrambled up to my mom, and we huddled together, both of us terrified and unsure of what to do. Luckily, nothing else happened that night, and we moved again the following week. What else could we do but continue to flee? We only stayed in those apartments for about 3 weeks total. We all hoped that this would be the last time we'd ever have to deal with something like this, leaving it all behind as just a bad memory.
The Little Boy by Baby Girl 7777. I'm a 19-year-old Muslim girl, and this is my story. I visited my homeland for my brother's wedding in 2013. I was 7 years old at the time. The house where my family and I were staying, which is our own house, is located in a cemetery area surrounded by trees, abandoned houses that people haven't lived in years, and very few lights. One night, I was walking from my house to my uncle's, which was at the end of the street, about a 5-minute walk. To get there, you have to either cross in front of the cemetery or take another road, which takes much longer. Since I had been living there for quite some time, I was used to it. This night was also my birthday, and I was on my way to my party. I went alone because everyone else was already at my uncle's. As I was in front of the cemetery, I saw a shadow that looked like a little boy. By the looks of it, he seemed younger than me, wearing no shirt, just black shorts. All I could see was his back. He was just standing there facing the wall in a corner. I really didn't think anything of it at the time. I thought it might have been some kid playing around while their father or grandfather was praying at the mosque. It was located in the middle of the cemetery. I called out to see if it was someone I knew, but he didn't react. He just stood there. I watched to see what he would do until my mom called me to come inside quickly and cut the cake. I only looked away for a few seconds, and when I looked back into the area where I saw the boy, he wasn't there. Maybe he ran away. I really didn't think anything of it, and I went ahead with my day. A few days passed, and there were still a few more days before we could leave the island and return to the capital city where I live. During that time on the island, I kept having these weird dreams. I was being followed or chased by someone or something. It wasn't clear at the time, but it was starting to get worse. I began to see the little boy in my dreams, and that's when I knew that this wasn't normal. I told my mom about it, and she suggested that I should pray. It stopped happening for a while. After I returned to the capital city, I became distant with my prayers. I then started having those dreams again, but did not continue with my prayers. The dreams didn't stop. I started getting paranoid and began seeing him inside my house whenever I was alone. He couldn't get close to me, but there he was. I saw him and felt his presence every time it happened. It felt like he was taking my soul from my body. It seemed like the whole house was shaking. Now that I think about it, I realize that he had no face at all. After a month of seeing him and going through this, with the physical reactions getting worse, I decided to tell my parents. They brought this man to perform a spiritual healing on me. That day, while he was reciting the Quran, I felt comfortable and thought I had fallen asleep. However, my mom, who was there, explained that while he was reciting the Quran, I was laughing, my eyes were shaking, and I was stiff the whole time. When he finished, I woke up as if nothing had happened. Now, I'm safe from it all, but I still get spiritual healing done occasionally, just in case. This whole experience still scares me to this day.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Notice how some homes sell faster in your neighborhood? It's not luck. It's local know-how. RE/MAX agents know their streets, schools, and communities inside and out. And with RE/MAX, those local pros are everywhere. Which means when you're ready to buy or sell, you'll get trusted neighborhood insight that puts you a step ahead. Reach out today. RE/MAX. The experts close to home. Each office independently owned and operated.
Zion here again. This is my final story. It's more of a compilation of all the remaining supernatural or otherwise unexplainable happenings in my life. About 2 years after our second haunted experience, my family ended up in a little country home in middle Georgia. The house was comfy, but it was surrounded by woods and could be a bit creepy at night. It also felt lonesome because our neighbors lived far down the road. A few things happened at this house that made me question what was really going on. My siblings and I shared one room, since none of us liked sleeping alone. One night, my sister woke up because of strange noises coming from the hall. She looked up, saw our door cracked open, and a strange man in a top hat, just gazing into the room. She hid under the covers and fell asleep until morning, when she told my brother and me what she had seen. A few weeks later, a similar thing happened to me, but this time it was different. I woke up in the early morning hours because I heard a weird noise in the hall, like something shuffling or fumbling around. When I turned over, I saw two gray aliens staring at me. Now, I know this sounds bizarre and out of left field, but there's no mistaking what I saw. There was one tall one and one short one, both peering into the room with huge black eyes. Eventually, they both locked eyes with me. My heart started pounding, and I became dizzy with fear. I either blacked out or fell asleep, but it was like I blinked and they were gone. It was daylight when I woke up. I told my siblings and they believed me, but what could we really do about it? Another incident happened when my mom's boyfriend and I were taking down the trash to the road to be picked up the next morning. I looked up at the sky and saw a white orb. I thought it was a star, but it was big and moving. It was too slow to be a plane, but just fast enough to notice it was indeed moving. I was about to point it out to my mom's boyfriend when I blacked out. When I came to, he was yelling at me, asking, "What the heck is wrong with you?" According to him, while I thought I was blacked out, I had actually walked into the street, holding my thumb up like I was trying to hitchhike. He had to shake me to snap out of it. I don't remember doing that, and it was freaky to think that, for a moment, my body wasn't my own. I was leaving my now wife, then girlfriend's apartment, and walking back to my dorm. It was maybe 2 in the morning, and I had to pass a cemetery. I noticed a shadow on the ground behind me, but I wasn't too freaked out. With the streetlights, it was possible to see someone's shadow if they were close enough. I assumed it was a friend or someone who knew me, about to surprise me. I felt a tug on my backpack, so I turned around, expecting to see someone I knew, but there was no one there. I spun around, confused, looking for something my backpack could have caught on to, but there was nothing. The shadow on the ground was also gone. I realized I was standing next to a cemetery, and that was enough for me. I ran the rest of the way to my dorm. The last occurrence was also during college, when I took a trip to Panama City Beach with my now wife. We were sitting together, enjoying the stars, when we noticed a huge gap in the sky, where there should have been stars. We both stared harder, to make sure we weren't imagining things, and then this gap started moving. It moved slowly and silently, and its blackness blended with the night sky, except it blocked the stars as it moved. I can't describe the size of this thing. It was about the distance you'd see a plane, but not even from that far. We could tell it was huge, maybe the size of 4 jumbo jets. Nothing crazy happened. We just sat there in nervous awe as we watched the blackness move across the sky and eventually out of view. I'm glad she was there to witness something so bizarre with me. It was just enough to convince me that our world is full of odd things, things that often go unseen and unexplained.
Brenham, Texas by No Independent 9914. I've been dying to tell my story about my experience in Brenham. I went to the junior college there in 2010 to 2011. My friend and I met some local guys who wanted to show us around, so one night they invited us to a house that they knew was haunted. I absolutely hated being scared, so I was very stern when I said I wasn't going. No one cared if I went or stayed, honestly. I decided to stay in the car. We were parked in a Lowe's parking lot, and next door to the parking lot was this huge abandoned lot full of trees and tall grass, If you weren't a local, you would never even know there was a house back there. As soon as they started walking away, I jumped out of the car and decided to go with them. I was scared to go, but I was also scared to stay in the car by myself. As we were walking toward the house, there was a long sidewalk along the fence line. It looked like a newer sidewalk, too, which kind of threw me off guard. As we approached the house, it was so dark that you could barely even see it. The trees were covering the moonlight. We opened the door, and as soon as we walked in, there were stairs leading to the second floor. We didn't even bring a flashlight, and as I said, this was a while ago, so iPhones were just becoming more popular, and I had just gotten mine. I let them use my phone as a flashlight. As we started walking upstairs, there was the loudest sound of what I assumed were combat boots running from one side of the house to the other on the second floor. We all completely froze and didn't say a word. At that moment, my body was truly numb. I know for a fact that I had never been so scared in my life. Everyone paused for a second and then continued on as if nothing had happened. When we got upstairs, there was so much junk on the ground. Glass, cards, clothes, blankets. I picked up a piece of paper from the ground, and it turned out to be a thank you card from 1920. When we opened the closet, there were top hats and clothes that seemed to be from a very, very long time ago. They were untouched. Obviously, people had vandalized this place, but there were still things from the 20s in this house. On the second floor, there were many cots where I assume people slept. It was one big room, not multiple rooms. The cots had what I assumed were bloodstains on them. Just as we were about to start heading downstairs, my phone completely glitched out. It started rebooting and showed the loading dial on the screen. It wouldn't turn back on. It left us in the pitch dark. My friend and I had just bought her a new camera that day, and she had it with her, so we decided to start taking pictures to let the flash guide us back downstairs. As we were trying to keep the camera flashing, it started glitching as well, saying lens error. We had just bought the camera that day. The camera finally turned back on, but it was flashing uncontrollably. We weren't even touching it. It just kept going on and on. My phone finally turned back on, and we walked downstairs. I kid you not, there was this humongous chair with a tall back facing the front door. Obviously, it wasn't there when we walked in just 10 minutes ago, so I immediately said, "Hey, it's time for us to go." My friend began asking someone if they could take her picture while she sat in the chair. I was begging her at this point to just leave. She told me, "After you take this one picture, we'll leave." So I took the picture. Next, these mason jars started flying at us. We began to run out of the house, and with my right hand on the Bible, as I was running out, this huge owl swooped down on me. The guy running behind me jumped on my back and we fell. He was just as scared as I was. Once we got back to the car, I was in such a bad mood. I was so upset that we went to this place, and I was more mad at myself for not just sitting in the car. The local guys finally told us the story about the house. They said that it was a veteran's office back in the early 1900s, and he would often foster children. The second floor was where the children slept, on those cots. They said that he started to go mad and began doing weird experiments on the children, eventually killing them. Now, I halfway believed this story. I thought that it was just a local hometown tale told to all of the college kids, until I saw the pictures that the camera took. The camera that had a lens error. The pictures that were on the camera literally gave me nightmares for weeks. I had to call my grandparents and have them pray for me because I couldn't sleep at all. The pictures showed kids' faces, but the faces appeared to be melting into the walls. It was the scariest thing I had ever seen in my life. I've looked for any records on this place, but haven't been able to find one archive or article about it. I've searched high and low for anything about this property, and there was nothing. I just wanted to share this and see if anybody has ever heard of this place, and if anyone has any information or has trespassed like we did. I have so many scary stories about different Texas cities that I've lived in. Feel free to ask any questions about this story or anything else.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
So do we add Branham, Texas to our list of haunted locations that we want to go to, but never will?
Yeah, 100%. I sent you a link to the Lowe's in Branham, Texas on Google Maps if you want to pull that up, but you can see the house that they were probably talking about. It's this big field next to the parking lot, and it's just covered in trees.
Oh yeah, that's got to be it. It looks like it's accessible on this dirt road that runs off of Highway 36, if I'm seeing that right.
Yeah. I know we have listeners in Texas, and for legal reasons, we do not recommend trespassing by any means.
Especially not in Texas. And you definitely shouldn't check it out when you're there in November.
I did look up on how close it would be while I was in Texas, and it's way out of the way. Kind of a bummer. Not that I'd actually go there.
Great story.
Exactly.
A haunted house with a history of human experiments and murder.
Yeah, and bloody mattresses. I've had a couple of stories on Let's Not Meet with those, and it's always a red flag, people.
Yeah, honestly, any exposed mattress in public is a red flag. I used to plant an orchard by my house as a kid, and one day this super worn out mattress just showed up out of nowhere under one of the walnut trees I used to climb.
Did somebody move in?
Something like that. Trash would randomly be left behind that didn't belong to me or my friends because littering is for squares. I thought maybe some older kids had just started to use it as a hangout spot, but there would be random pieces of men's clothing left there. Something about it definitely felt like somebody was sleeping there rather than just partying there.
Well, I'm glad you didn't cross paths with whoever that was. It looks like you were on different schedules.
Yeah, something like that.
Isn't that weird, though? There's something so off-putting and red flaggy about the exposed mattress. I don't know what it is. It's just not right.
I have a thing with textures, so I totally get it in that regard. If the fitted sheet rips off during the night and my skin brushes against the exposed mattress, I go into panic mode. For whatever reason, the thought of scratching freshly cut fingernails against corduroy has always made my skin crawl for some unknown reason. I don't know why, but ever since I was a kid, it was just this thing I've had in my mind. But that's all to say. I know what you mean. No exposed mattresses. Great story from an independent.
Yep, classic haunted house tale. You know, I have the same exact thing with textures, and my wife doesn't really get it, but like snagging fingernails on stuff, pretty much anything, really, really gets to me. Or like when like your feet brush against the sheet and it like snags, like, oh,
cutting your toenails and putting on some socks and they snag.
Ooh, yeah, no. And I also have to like pull the tips of my socks down a little bit so they're not tight on my toes.
Yeah.
I have all these weird things. The biggest one for me is getting my fingernail caught or scratched on the seatbelt buckle straps in a car.
Yeah. No, yeah.
But that was a good story. That's definitely going in my list of favorites for sure.
It was interesting to hear about an exorcism from a religion other than Christianity. You don't really hear much of that, or at least we don't.
Yeah. And the author said that it was called the Rukia or something like that. It's a healing process in Islam that's very similar to the popular Catholic exorcism, but it's used to treat and heal people that are affected by magic, evil spirits, and other supernatural issues, I guess. They recite the Quran just like they would with the Bible in a Catholic exorcism. But I always find it so fascinating how certain religions and spiritual practices are just echoed throughout so many different religions and practices from all over the world. It's all so similar.
I'm glad the healing worked for her, though. Spiritual attachments. And I don't know, something about them is so scary. I don't even like to think about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a no-go for me. Possession movies are some of my favorite movies, though. And I guess considering that it's the season for that kind of stuff, do you have any horror movies planned that you want to watch in October?
I'd have to say Reanimator is one of my all-time favorites, but I still haven't gotten around to watching From Beyond, so I think that's going to be next.
That's actually on my list of movies I wanted to show to my wife because she wants to see it too.
Very nice.
We should watch it the same night and talk about it.
Yeah, let's do a triple date.
I know.
I've been slowly working on a quest to watch all that the 80s has to offer and leave no stone unturned, heavy hitters and hidden gems alike. I have a little bit of a list going.
I made a list as well, but we haven't even touched it because we're so deep into Degrassi.
You didn't even watch that show as a kid, huh?
Yeah, we talked about that on our last stream. I love it, though. It's my second time watching it, and I guess that's a testament to how good it is.
Yeah, it's great. You have zero nostalgic attachment to it, but it's still one of your new favorite shows. Even watching it as a kid, I remember thinking, how can a children's soap opera be this good? But it completely holds up today.
It's great. I've also been watching The Penguin on HBO. Those are the two shows for me right now, and that's a really great show. I went into it fully expecting it to be terrible.
I've heard good things. I still need to finish The Batman. I always get halfway through and feel so defeated because I don't fully understand what's going on. I got to give it a third and final try, though, and try it with subtitles or something.
Yeah. It's very, very different. It's so different. It's good, though. I liked it enough.
Yeah. I liked what I've seen so far.
Yeah. I like that compilation of stories that was sent in by Zion. It was, I guess, a really interesting way to present it.
Yeah, it kind of worked out perfectly since we each usually read around three stories and they sent three separate emails, so I figured, why not?
Yeah, and it was neat hearing them all broken up like that, like getting updates from a friend after you're wondering how they're doing. I can't imagine what it must be like for the people who have had stuff happen all throughout their childhood, like, there's never an escape from it.
Yeah, I guess at that point, all you really can do is embrace it and hope for the best. Protect yourself however you find necessary.
Mm-hmm.
The random alien sighting was brief but interesting. Always cool to hear about, too.
Yeah, I wonder if it's like getting struck by lightning twice or if aliens are somehow connected to all of the usual ghostly paranormal stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I guess it depends how you want to look at it. As cheesy as it might sound, I think everything in the universe is connected in some way, shape, or form, more than we realize. But at the same time, yeah, a horse and a watermelon don't seem to have a whole lot in common. It just depends how you want to stretch the concept.
Yeah, it's hard to see the connection between blacking out after seeing that white orb in the sky to that Hat Man encounter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe the unknown just seeks out certain susceptible people.
Well, kind of like how you mentioned last episode, is dreaming a gift or is not dreaming a curse? I know there are good and bad spirits out there and some people who see their experiences as a blessing and others are definitely not okay with it. So there's just a lot of gray area.
Yeah, that's true. And maybe the dream world just isn't safe for everybody. So in some ways, not dreaming could be a hidden blessing.
Wonderful way to look at it.
Yeah. I think that's a good place to end things. Thank you all so much for listening. Make sure you send your stories to stories@oddtrails.com if you want to hear them on the show, and sign up for our Patreon for ad-free versions of all of our episodes at patreon.com/oddtrails. Finally, make sure to check out the new episodes of my other podcasts like Let's Not Meet, Cryptic Encounters, and the Old Time Radiocast at crypticcountypodcasts.com. I'll see you all next week, everyone. Stay safe.
Peace out.
About Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.